So I'm going to ask if we can stick up Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3, please. I am going to be chatting around bringing down strongholds this morning, and I'm going to try and shorten it so that we can get to a place of doing some ministry. But this is important for us this morning. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. We could just keep that up. What you need to know is, I think it's in Luke 7, Jesus was actually reading out of a scroll, and he was actually reading out of a scroll of what had been prophesied 400 years prior, and Isaiah was speaking of the foreshadow of what was to come. All right? And this is very powerful, what is happening. And so Jesus, when he got up and he actually read the scroll, was actually speaking, and he said, that which you see in front of you now is actually what is manifesting itself. And this is the beauty, because we're singing about the name of Jesus and how glorious and how magnificent and how powerful and how wonderful this name is. But look at this. To preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Say brokenhearted. To proclaim freedom to the for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all who mourn. Say mourn. And provide for those who grieve in Zion. To bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. The oil of gladness instead of mourning. And a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Say despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. That planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor is the power of Jesus that comes into your life and manifests his presence in your life and brings about radical transformation and change, and we go from glory to glory. When Jesus comes in and he breaks into your life, there needs to be change. And so this morning, I want to encourage us as a people that we would be open to God moving here this morning. And last week, as Andre and Jenny were facilitating the meeting, Andre got up and he preached around recognizing strongholds. Many of you responded, and I think many more of you should have responded. And that's been a weak muscle for us, because the problem is, if I stand up, are people going to think I'm weak, that there's something wrong with me? Let me say to you, don't give the enemy a foothold. Because the problem is, that's where your stronghold starts, is when we live in denial of the stuff that we are wrestling with and battling with, and God wants to set you free. But we've got to get to a place in our lives where we say, Lord, I'm ready to walk in the freedom that you've destined for me. Because that's what Jesus does for you and I. The most important thing of this scripture, and I want to, if you walk away with anything here today, my heart is, please know that God loves you. He loves you. Jesus, part of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, loves you. He loved you enough to pay a price and to suffer a horrific death, to become the substitute for you, to hang on the cross and to suffer beating and insulting and everything that could possibly be inflicted on him. The Bible says that the wrath of God, the sin of the world, which was so magnified that one man would take it on behalf of you and I. That's how much he loved you. But I think there's a part of this triune God that we forget, and there's the Holy Spirit. And as we're talking, the Holy Spirit brings revelation to us here this morning. And how much we need the Holy Spirit in our walk to understand what God the Father looks at when he sees you and understand what Jesus did. And the Holy Spirit always points us through to Jesus. Jesus always points us through to the Father, because through Jesus Christ, we are reconciled back to the Father and we are put in right standing with him because of our faith in Jesus. And that revelation and illumination can only come because of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I shudder to think that some of us, we forget that there's a third person of the Trinity that we need desperately to help us in this area. And so with that, the heart of God is not only that you get saved, But the heart of God is that we would start to be set free from the things that have held us in captivity and in bondage. That we can walk in greater levels of freedom because we're singing, the enemy has been defeated. We are singing that there's power in the name of Jesus. Either you believe it or you're singing lies. But the problem is for many of us, we're living in a space that we are living defeated as Christ followers. And I believe God wants to change that this morning. When we walk out of this door today, this is not a rah-rah moment. I'm praying that the Holy Spirit is going to bring revelation to each one of us here this morning, that we need Him to identify the things in our lives, and that if we really do believe that Jesus is who He says He is and who God says He is, that this morning, where He says, I've come to set the captives free and to free those that are prisoners, that we will experience that this morning and walk out of those doors knowing that we've been set free. Many of us have had strongholds identified in the last week. Some of us might get a few more identified today. But one of the things that are, or two things that are quite helpful for us here this morning is that we need to know that as strongholds have been identified and discovered, we can either allow them to consume us or we can see past the stronghold and recognize that the power of God has been given us to deal with the stuff. A classic example is a guy called David in the Bible. Do you remember David and Goliath? All right. Now, David is very, very key for us, and we're going to learn a little bit about him. But before we go onto that scripture, I want to just remind us, recognizing strongholds, what are those things that consume us? What is it that has captured you? As you sit here right now, some of you might be sick. Some of you might be battling with finances. Some of you might be battling in relational issues. What is it that is consuming you? Because that becomes the stronghold. That's the thing that grips you. That's the thing that holds you in captivity and absolutely grips every area of your life to the point that some of us, which has included myself, have found myself in health issues because stress and anxiety took over rather than allowing God to control things. And so we need to be mindful and we need to be open to what is taking control of our lives. Secondly, with recognizing strongholds, call it what it is. How many people have we sat with and say, well, you know, I'm battling with this sickness. It's the sea. I'm like, what is the sea? Are you talking about the ocean? If you're battling with cancer, or high cholesterol, call it what it is. Because the minute you call it what it is, you actually are disarming that thing immediately and you're not allowing it to have control and a foothold over your life. So I've spoken to people. I battle with blood pressure. So I've got a 5-milligram blood pressure medication. It's apparently now that I've come on it and gone off it and so on, now I know it goes through the genes. It is what it is. I've got to accept it. But I want to tell you something. When I was diagnosed with blood pressure, my immediate thought was, I'm going to die. For goodness sake, my blood pressure was just slightly raised. But I honestly did. And I got consumed. And the enemy started to make me believe that I was going to die. And I got stressed. Call it what it is. Part of recognizing strongholds, part of us have issues where there's been relational breakdown. If there's unforgiveness, we need to learn to forgive. Where we need to reconcile, we need to move towards reconciliation. This breaks the stronghold of the enemy over our lives. Man, if you've got a marriage that is in trouble and you've got difficulties, call it for what it is. Deal with it. Get next to your elders and get people to help you walk in this thing. Don't walk in denial. The other thing is, what lies are we believing as saints? Because that's exactly how Satan works, and you'll see that a little later on. I mentioned earlier on, what are some of the financial strongholds that we're facing? Maybe some of us here are sitting here and saying, I need to save every penny that I've got for my retirement, otherwise I'm not going to retire well. Well, let me tell you something. You might not even enjoy 1 cent of your retirement when you get there. Because I saw that with my father-in-law, my late father-in-law, a week before he died. He signed off a school which was signed off into one of the big schools, Kira Holdings, up in Gauteng. And the money that was paid out, he never got 1 cent. Don't live for your retirement. Live for Jesus. Make decisions and be wise to save. No problem with that. But you are not guaranteed tomorrow. We're going to stand before God one day and give an account of our lives. Make sure that your finances, if you're being blessed with finances, make sure that they count for the kingdom of God. And I want to honor the church this morning as well in that. And saying, you know, we often get up and we do this 1 minute talk or 2 minute talk around finances. It's stewardship. It's about imparting to you as saints the importance of our giving. Some people's perceptions, and this is where the stronghold comes in, is the enemy will say, oh, all they do is they talk about money. They just want your money. And they will start to manipulate you and they'll use it. And that's how things go. I've had guys in the past come to me after a meeting and say, if you speak about money again, you will never see me. I said, well, guess what? Have a nice life. Because we are never going to stop talking about money because we want to be right before God. The money that you've got, the talents that you've got, whatever your career is, whatever you're doing, God, through your life's journey and choices and decisions, has blessed you in a particular way. Man, be faithful with that. Because some have been given five, some have been given two, and some have been given one. Be faithful with whatever God has given you. And I want to say to you, God loves you, man. God loves you. You give in accordance with your means. Just for goodness sake, be faithful. Otherwise, what happens is the enemy will grip you and imprison you. And I think the reason why I want to hit this thing, because guys have been faithful, but I felt like the Lord saying to me, Ants, this is the tip of the iceberg. The enemy has gripped some of you. If I give, I'm not going to be able to put food on the table. Let me tell you something. You give, and you come and speak to the elders here. We'll always make sure there's food on the table. I can personally testify to that. When we were going through COVID, I've never, as a businessman and as someone that was self-sufficient, I could well look after myself, and I was extremely generous with many people. I'll never forget Russell Fraser saying to me one day, Ants, as you earn, you give, you be faithful, you trust God. And I want to tell you something. God has never let me down, and we always had food on our table. And I want to say something else as well, that even the place where I'm renting, my landlord was so understanding and actually phoned me and said, you don't need to pay anything. Once you start earning again, you can pay back everything as you go along. Hey man, God works in different ways, church. We all have a different story. Let's not give the enemy a foothold here. All right, so let's look at it. Health issues, depression, anxiety, fear. I want to say to folk here this morning, medication is okay. There are some folk here that if I take medication, I'm showing that I don't have faith. The problem is if you come off your medication, you could be in a worse situation than what you were. You do stuff responsibly when we trust and we pray for healing for people. You always work with your doctors. You don't come off your medication unless your doctor can see tangibly that actually there is good health here. We need to be wise. People have got very sick because they've been unwise in these things. But I also want to say that the enemy also say, well, where's your faith? Where's your faith? Hey, don't go, where's your faith? You're taking pills now to help you with X, Y, and Z. What kind of Christian are you? And the problem is many of us, we live like that. And we start to believe those lies. Why do you think God allowed for doctors? And we need to honor that. And for some of us, you need to know your body is busy decaying. You're actually busy dying as you're growing. And at some point, you're either going to die in a car accident or you're going to die of a natural death, whatever that might look like. The point is you are busy dying. And let's make sure that we're right with God. All right. Sorry, I hope this is not really coming across too strong. I'm quite passionate about this. I'm deeply concerned. I can give you what you like to hear or I'll give you the truth. And we need to walk this out together, church. I'm not preaching to the converted here. I'm in this thing as well. I've got to watch my life here all the time. Some of us, there's strongholds of procrastination. Indecision is a decision. Some of us can be over-spiritual, yet there's no fruit. There's sin issues. There's porn. There's alcohol, substance abuse, and the list goes on. And the problem is many of us, we're entertaining this stuff, and we're being held in captivity. And I want to say to you that when we ask for people to respond, actually, you should be getting up, and you should be saying, please, Lord, don't pass me by. And I want to break a lie over some folk here this morning where they say, yeah, but every time they call out, I'm the person going up. Good. Please keep coming because we want to see God break through in your life. Amen. We need to understand this is how God works. So let's have a look at 1 Samuel 17, 32 verses 50. 1 Samuel 17, verses 32. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." This is a young boy. Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy, and who has been fighting a man from his youth?" But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed him." In other words, I bashed it in the face. "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Probably going, "Oh dear Lord, I hope this guy gets through this." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put on a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I am not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose five smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." David said to the Philistine, and I'll do this in my teenage voice, "You come against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." And so it goes on, "This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give you the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And all those gathered here will know that it is not by the sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistines moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag, taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, without a sword in his hand, and he struck down the Philistine and killed him. There's a couple of things that we need to look at here. And so I'm going to paraphrase as I do need to try and get through this for you. But there are some key things here. There was an external Goliath being faced. There was a reality that David looked at this and said, "Sure, there's somebody way bigger than me, way stronger than me, way more mature than me, way more experienced than me." And there was a reality that a whole nation was being impacted by this one person. And funny enough, those that were walking with Goliath all hid behind him. That's the external factor that was being faced. The reality is for you and I, we need to know what enemy is roaming around at the moment. In our lives, what are we being threatened by? What is there that's demoralizing you? What are you facing externally that's bringing you to a place where, like the nation of Israel, we are left cowering back rather than actually getting in and dealing with the stuff? But what you do need to know is that as you do get victories with the external, another one will pop up at some point. So don't be fooled. This is a lifelong journey of dealing with this stuff. So if you look at your current situation, let's just look at some of the big giants that we are facing today in our personal lives. But what are we doing? We're facing this as a country as well. What are the giants that we are facing as a country? What is it that's shouting at you? What is it that's bringing intimidation? What is it that's bringing you to a place to wonder, is this country worth living in? But let me tell you something. God has ordained the times and the places that you and I need to be. For many of us, we'll never be able to leave this country. I don't want to leave this country. I want to tell you something. The grass isn't always greener on the other side. But one thing I do know is I believe that God will give me a future, my children a future, and you a future if we're prepared to say, Lord, we're going to trust you with our country's future and the future that we have here together. Black, white, colored, Indian, the gospel knows no boundaries when it comes to race. There's not a South African culture with multiple languages yet. There's a kingdom culture. There's one culture, and that's a culture that is defined by Jesus. And we've got to embrace that. So, with that, we need to deal with the internal Goliath now. And so this is important for us because this is what we see with David. David saw the realities. But what happened with David was David got to a place in his life that he wasn't intimidated by this Goliath. Why? Because he had the internal victory in his life. And you and I need to know that in order to beat the Goliaths that we are facing, you've got to get your internal victory first. All right, does that make sense to you? The Israelites saw through eyes of hopelessness and despair, but David saw through eyes of victory. The internal victory needs to come first. We're not moved by what we see in the natural. Very interestingly, David's brothers never really were able to fully enjoy the victory, even though they were a part of it. You know why? Because if you read more of 1 Samuel 17, you will see what happened was David's brothers had an issue with him going to fight Goliath, questioning his motives. And then also even Saul saying, are you mad? You're a teenage boy taking on someone with all this experience. And what was happening is Saul himself, who was the leader of the nation of Israel, did not have the victory internally, but a young boy of 13 did. Let me say to the young guys here, the young guys and girls, don't let your age hold you back, because here we saw what David did, and it rescued a whole nation. So with that, we need that internal victory. It's got to happen there first. So how do you get this internal victory? Good question, church. Firstly, know that the victory belongs to God. Let's say that. The victory belongs to God. Part of this is that we also need to know that we can overcome things by, through fasting and prayer. For many of us, and I've got scriptures backing this up, so I'm speaking them out. In 2 Chronicles 20, you can go and read that in your own time, and you can see there. But that's what happened. The nation of Israel, people came together. They started to fast, and they started to pray. But could I maybe put it out there? Be wise. You don't need to go on a 40-day fast like Jesus did. Take one day. Take one day. Take half a day. Fast TV. Fast food. Live on water, whatever it is. Maybe it's 2 days, maybe it's 3 days. If you're needing victory in a particular area, fast. And don't just go through the day and just fast but not pray, because that's just having a diet. All right. So very importantly, you need to pray. And what is it that you're facing? Can I tell you something right now? I faced tremendous stress many years ago because of ministry. And I was on the border of burnout. I had vertigo. I was on blood pressure medication, and I genuinely thought I was going to die. It took me over 3 years to come out of this thing, but eventually I had to get to a place of realizing I needed to trust God, and I had to believe for God to move powerfully in this thing. And you got to do it through prayer and through fasting and spending time in the Word, and most importantly, being with God's people and hanging with God's people. And for some of you, it'll take a lifetime to get through this. For some of you, God will set you free on this thing, possibly today, over a week, or a few months. But for some of us, you're going to be fighting this battle on your knees until Jesus calls you home. But I want to also encourage folk here this morning, because I have seen this before. I've seen people with terminal cancer look happier than people that are not sick at all. That's how secure they are in God. Don't let the enemy have a foothold here on your life. Right. Is that making sense? I want us to read 2 Corinthians 10, and I think I'm going to land with this. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 6. For though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Can we just read that verse 4 again? The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power. Say divine power. To demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. I've got more that I could say here. Maybe I'm going to ask you to give me Mark 9, verses 23, please. This is the story of the young boy who has a father. And what happens is this little boy has an evil spirit. And Jesus is eventually engaging the father and asking him. He asks the father, he says, can you heal my son? And Jesus says, what do you mean, can I heal him? And he goes on and he speaks of the unbelief of the father. He says, if you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for him who believes. Now this morning, for many of us that are sitting here, we got prayed for last week, but maybe you're back in your same space. It's very interesting. There's a scripture that speaks of that. When we get prayed for, when we cast out demons, or when people have been set free through deliverance, the Bible teaches that what happens is that evil spirit will go away. For some of us, we've been oppressed, and suddenly it's back. So what happens is the enemy goes away because he's now heard you praising today. He's heard you being prayed for today. He's heard you confess your sin. He's heard you call out to God. The Bible says that he cannot stand in the midst of the saints that operate like that. But then he goes away. And he'll come back maybe a week later or 2 months later or 3 months later. And what he'll do is he'll come back and he'll check the home and he'll say, well, I visited you about a month ago. And I remember that event that happened, and there was a bit of a clearing out. But hang on a second. This house is empty. It hasn't been filled. So then what he does is he goes and he fetches 7 of his canonies. Say canonies. If you're in Boxburg, it's Chinas. And he goes and he fetches them. And the Bible says, and he comes back, and he brings them back to that empty space. And he says, and they will enter that person, and that person will be worse off than when they were originally dealt with. And I feel like God wants to break into folks' lives here this morning, that we would realize our need to constantly fight this thing until you know you have absolute victory in it. Whatever your Goliath is, the only way that you know that you have victory in it is when it no longer keeps you up at night, no longer intimidates you, no longer captivates you, but that you walk in a space where you know where you can say, God, thank you. You've given me victory. Now this morning, I want to pray for people. I don't want you to stand because there's an opportunity just to stand. I want you to just take a moment. Do you have the sense of an internal victory in your heart where you're saying, you know what, I recognize this thing and I do believe that God can bring healing and restoration here. And I'm going to ask Matt just to read out some of those lists that he's made, which I think is very helpful. And as that is read out this morning, don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. I want you to please today walk out of this place knowing that when we stand, we believe in the name of Jesus to bring healing and restoration and comfort. So Matt, read that out. And as it's read out, I want you to stand.
Cool. So just quieting our spirits and saying, Lord, we want to respond to these things. This is just a list of our strongholds that I've made as Ants was sharing. And I think this is vital. Don't feel ashamed to stand. I think there's such a victory that the Lord wants for every single one of us this morning. So please, we implore you, don't let the Lord pass you by this morning. Stand and say, yes, Lord, I want to see freedom in this. So I'm going to linger on each one as I say it, and then I'll give space for it. as I go through the list. So I'm going to start off fear. If fear has gripped your heart, I want you to stand. If anxiety has gripped your heart, I want you to stand. If you're struggling with health issues, I want you to stand. If you have high blood pressure, falls into that, I want you to stand. If you struggle with stress, I want you to stand. If there is ongoing sin in your life that you're not finding victory in, I want you to stand. If there is lust in your life, I want you to stand. If there is pride, I want you to stand. Pride also means not wanting to ask for help, not just feeling prideful. If there are lies in your life that you're believing, I want you to stand. If you struggle with procrastination, I want you to stand. If you struggle with any form of abuse, whether it's alcohol, substance, anything like that, I want you to stand. If there is jealousy in your heart, I want you to stand. If you struggle with compulsive lying, or lying recurringly, I want you to stand. If you struggle with heaviness, if you struggle with thoughts of death and suicide, I want you to stand. If you struggle with depression, if you struggle with unforgiveness, and if you struggle with bitterness in any way, I want you to stand.
So just to make this a little bit more visual, last week when we were in Benoni, we're taking a drive to where we had to be, and oh my goodness, the potholes in the roads there are horrendous. And I'm not talking about tiny potholes. I'm talking about massive, deep potholes where we had to really, well, Ant was driving, but I was nervous being the passenger because of all these potholes. And you literally, you could see them from a distance. Some you could, some you couldn't. And you literally had to swerve a way out. And then at the same time, watch the oncoming traffic to avoid these potholes. Whether it was light or darkness, we had to be very, very careful on the roads. And I just felt like, as Ant was sharing this on the strongholds this morning again, and even as Matt has read out that list, it's like that pothole. You've identified it, and you can see it, but you can also make a choice to avoid it. By swerving out, by keeping your eyes fixed on God, being alert and looking ahead for those possible potholes, and then making a choice, you know what, I'm going to avoid it. Because if you hit that pothole, I can promise you this much, your vehicle will be destroyed. If it's not completely damaged, it can be turned over and cause a massive accident. Let's take hold of these strongholds. As we've identified them, as you recognize them, do everything that you can in your power to avoid it and not hit it that can cause damage in your life.
Just open our hands. Church, I'm going to pray a prayer for us. I'm going to ask that you would pray after me as well. I'm standing up here as well. So no man gets glory today. Often, I think, because there's so many folk, we'd love to have hands laid on folk. Those that possibly aren't standing, maybe find someone just to lay a hand on them. But then I'm going to ask you just to set your hearts and minds first on Jesus. Just firstly, see how much God really loves you. Just acknowledge it between yourself and Him. Say, Lord, thank you for your love. Just acknowledge it. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you died for me. Thank you, Jesus, that you are so powerful. Thank you, Jesus, that in your name is not only salvation, Lord, but Lord, we can believe for healing, We can heal, believe for comfort. But also, Jesus, through you, that the captives will be set free. I want you to process that. Just see that. And just where you are, just acknowledge it before the Lord. In the simplicity of who you are before Him. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you reveal the heart of the Father to us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you point us to Jesus, the one who saves us, Lord, the one who saves our souls. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that through Jesus and our belief and our trust in Him, we're made right with God the Father. Bring that revelation and illumination, Lord, this morning. The first thing is we just want to know how much we're loved by the triune God. Jesus, this morning, just in your heart and mind, you can just pray this. Jesus, this morning, I come to you. And before me, Lord, I want to put these Goliaths in front of you. And in your heart and in your mind, I just want you to start naming those things. That's why you're standing. And don't be afraid. Nobody's listening to you other than the Lord now. Just call it out for what it is. I'm calling it for what it is, Lord. I'm acknowledging, Jesus, this has held me in captivity. I've been a prisoner, Lord, to this stronghold. You know what it is. You've all stood. And today, Lord, I'm taking authority over it. And in the name of Jesus, I say to this stronghold, you no longer have authority in this place. You're no longer welcome in this place. I command you in the name of Jesus to leave me. Away with you in the name of Jesus. Just want to give you a moment because some of you have got more than one. I really want you to take a hold of this moment. Speak it out just where you are, cutting it off. In the name of Jesus, I'm pulling down the stronghold. It will no longer captivate me. Holy Spirit, I ask you now to come and breathe life into me. Breathe life into my circumstances and my situation. Bring life, Lord. Bring life. Bring joy, Lord. Renew in me the joy of my salvation, Lord. Bring life, Lord. I'm calling out to you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you have set me free now from that which has held me in captivity and bondage. It's by faith and trust and belief in you this morning, Lord, that I can walk out of this place knowing that I am free. Lord, help me. Help me today to not allow the enemy to come back at me. And to tempt me and to fall back into my old ways. Today, Lord, I shut the door on this thing. With prayer, with fasting, with scripture, we will use your word, Lord, to fight the ploys of the enemy. And I pray, Lord, that whatever my situation is, Lord, that you'll turn it around and restore back to me that which the locusts have stolen. And Lord, where there's healing and restoration and comfort that needs to come, Lord, let it come by your Spirit because the battle belongs to you, Lord. And this morning, we petition you, we cry out to you, we say, God, come and fill us anew. Fill us afresh this morning. Restore back to us, Lord, that which has been taken. Lord, turn things around, Lord, where people have battled because of stress and anxiety, Lord, and there's been health issues. In the name of Jesus, we say, heal them, Lord. We thank you for that, God. You're merciful and kind, Lord. Lord, where there's marital issues, I pray, God, that you would heal and restore. Lord, where there's damage in families with parents and children and children and parents, I pray in the name of Jesus that healing and restoration will come. And Lord, where the enemy has lied to us and deceived us, I pray right now that every lie will be broken over our lives.